Are you the cause of discord in the church? Find out today on Change by Grace. Welcome to Change by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. God hates discord. It is one of the abominations that's listed in Proverbs 6:16-19. For the past several weeks, we've been studying the things that God hates. And today we're concluding our look at this list. As we study today, ask yourself, are any of these vices a part of my life? Well, let's find out as we study God's Word. Now, as we've been going through this chapter in Proverbs, chapter 6, we've already looked at pride, lying, we've looked at murder, we've looked at a wicked heart, we've looked at riotous living, and we've looked at perjury. And now he comes to this section here in Proverbs 6 of discord. I think you know this because of the passage where he says, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are abomination. But can I say this just as plain and as simple as it can be? God hates discord. God hates it. He hates it just as much as he hates pride, as much as he hates lying, murder, a wicked heart, riotous living, and perjury. He hates it. Why does he hate it? Let me give you some reasons why he hates it. Number one, because it divides his people. It divides his people. When we disagree, it has the opportunity. Now get that, that's a key word. It has the opportunity to fester into bitterness. It has the opportunity to fester into bitterness when it's not received. I'm not saying we're all going to agree on everything. But some people want to take it to the second and third level. You know what I mean? They disagree, and they keep disagreeing, and they want to tell everybody they disagree till it becomes a problem. Billy Graham says, hot heads and cold hearts never solved anything. And out of every fellowship that I have been in, every fellowship I've taught at, every situation where I've been in and have experienced much of this, hot heads and cold hearts never solved anything. It never did. I remember one morning, I came in for church. I had my jacket draped over my arm. I had a briefcase in my hand. And we had a situation at that church. We had a child that was too old for the nursery, didn't have a class for him to be in. So we thought, just going into the class you're fixing to promote to in about 3 weeks. That sounds simple, doesn't it? Well, it wasn't. I mean, that was as simple as I explained it. And I thought, man, that's the easy thing. We've solved the problem. I walk in, and that teacher met me. She said, he is not coming in my class. You know what I said? I said, I guess we don't need you then. And boy, that hit the fan. You'd have thought I shot somebody. You'd have thought I committed murder. Because she went back, and this was the lack of discernment on her part, and told her class of 6-year-olds, the pastor just fired me. First of all, I didn't fire her. I don't like that word. I did say, if you're not willing to work with this situation, there is no remedy. I mean, it doesn't take a brainy to understand that. You know, you've got a child that's too old for the nursery. There is no class for his age. And he's going to promote in 2 weeks. I mean, I didn't see a problem there. But you see, no matter how much I talked to her and her husband, they never got over it. The day came when the church deacons decided that they felt like I wasn't doing my job, of course. And they said, well, we want to call the church to vote whether to keep you or not. In fact, before that, they said, we want you to resign. And I knew going into that situation what the situation was like. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, put within my heart a staying power. I'm not going to run from problems. I'm not going to run from the history of this situation. I was pastor number 35
in that fellowship. I mean, that right there alone will tell you something, right? You know, and so, of course, all of these things. Let me tell you something. I'm going to say things. I'm going to do things at times that's going to offend you. It's going to hurt you. Sometimes I'm going to do it. You know, obviously, I'm not going to know I'm doing it. And we may have times to where we talk about it and I ask you to forgive me or you ask me to forgive you. Beloved, it's over with. Right? It's over with at that point. But when you're one who sows discord among the brethren, it's never over. It never stops. That's why I believe that these people think they have that spiritual gift. That's their spiritual gift in life. To divide the fellowship. Now she obviously could have disagreed, and she did, of course. But she could have handled it better. And maybe I could have handled that better. You know, but we have been going on with this and really trying to work a way to work this out. Now, I don't know what you think about that, but it's past. But I know that we have a fellowship of people right here with so many different needs. And we try to meet in such a broad way these needs. And I would just say this. I stand by what I did back then. And I would say today, if we had a teacher today that was refusing to submit, refusing to follow after leadership. I mean, you can submit even though you disagree, right? But I would do it again. I would say the same thing. Not to divide the fellowship, not to sow discord among the brethren, but to say, listen, we want the right kind of people there. We don't want the people that really care. Because see, you know what happened to this little child? This little child heard all of that. And you know what? His mother was the secretary of the church. She was hurt. She was crushed by it. I come in Monday morning, she was ready to quit. She was ready to leave the church. And to be honest with you, if I wasn't the pastor, I'd have went right with her. Because that's not love. Right? That's not love. You see, discord divides. Now, I'm not talking about disagreements. I'm talking about a festering of it. I'm talking about carrying it on. You see, if we disagree with one another, let's get together. Let's talk about it. I mean, you might be right. I might be right. We both might be right. We both might be just seeing it differently. John Newton said, "What will it profit a man if he gains his cause and silences his adversary, if at the same time he loses that humble, tender frame of spirit in which the Lord delights and to which the promise of His presence is made?" Hey, you might win the argument. You might win. You might get your way. But what'd you lose in the process? You know what I mean? And I'd be very honest with you. I've went so many times to the people where all this was going on. And I sought to pray with them. I cried with them. I was the one crying. They weren't crying. And like I said, I walked out of those services so many times, so grieved in my heart, that I could just pray like Elijah, "God, just kill me. I don't want to live anymore." You know what I mean? I'm not advocating suicide, but I'm just telling you. That's what the Greek was like. Hebrews 12, 17, where it talks about, "Obey those who are over you. Let them do this with joy and not with grief." Grief can overtake you to such a point that you don't feel like living. Why do you think people commit suicide? They're filled with grief. Bitterness. And a lot of times, selfishness. "I'm going to kill myself because this girl doesn't love me." Well, you don't love her. You love you. That's why you're going to do that. Can I say this too? And you could turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That when it goes unchecked, it wreaks havoc in the fellowship. When it goes unchecked, when discord goes unchecked, it wreaks havoc in the fellowship. Look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And look at verse 10. Paul had to deal with the same problems. He said, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, 'I'm of Paul,
I am a Paulus. I am a Cephas. Or am I a Christ? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? In other words, let's get real. This is silly. You're over there playing these little games. He says, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I baptized in my own name. You see, it was division. Notice the words that he uses. He says, I hear that there are contentions among you, fighting over who baptized who. I mean, that is ridiculous. Let's praise God that somebody's baptized, right? Instead of fighting over who did it. Look over at chapter 3. Verse 1, he says, And I, brethren, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to fleshly. He wasn't saying they weren't spiritual. He just says, I can't speak to you as spiritual people because you're acting carnal. You're acting as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you're still not able. For you are still carnal. You're fleshly. But where there is envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal? And behaving like mere men. See, when division, discord, when it goes unchecked, it does nothing good. It has nothing good for the fellowship. It wreaks havoc. Over in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 18, Paul said, For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. And the word divisions that he uses there is the word for dissension. Schisms, splits, severing, dividing, tearing apart. Richard Sibb says, Factions always breed factions. See, that's why we have to cut it off at the head of it, right? That's why we have to cut it off in the beginning. Because it is so damaging. It can destroy fellowship. It can empty it in a moment. Empty it in a heartbeat. I mean, it wouldn't take much at all. It doesn't take much. God hates it. Let me give you a second reason why He hates it. Because it deviates from the truth. You know, discord is not interested in the truth. If it slaps you upside the head, it's still not interested. When I sat in that meeting, one of those many meetings where this group of men wanted me to resign, I said, could you just do me one favor? Write down what your charges are. And give me a chance to respond. That's all I ask. So they did that reluctantly. Say it right. And so when we came back together, I read my responses. And they weren't interested in what I had to say. They weren't interested in the truth. And see, I had made up my mind. If God wanted me to stay, I was staying. And I'll tell you what God did that morning. Besides the devil bringing all these people who had never been to church since I'd been there, ready to vote. Never seen him. Like, who are you? You're visiting with us. No, I'm a member of this church. It's like, well, where you been? But you know what happened that morning? You know what I preached on that morning? Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I will say rejoice. Two people got saved that morning. You know what that told me? It was clear as day. And then, of course, the vote came. It split down the middle. You know what I felt God was saying that day? You didn't reject my servant. You rejected me. That was clear as day for me. It was encouraging. I walked down like this. It was all over. I got met by a trustee. He said, I'd like to have your keys. It's like, well, you know, can we go eat lunch? Come back and we'll do all those other things? No, I want them right now. I said, well, let's just go over there and we'll work on it. And so him and another trustee, they sat there and watched me as if I was going to steal something. And I had one of them say, yeah, we can take this outside. Is that discord? Is that discord among the brethren? I tell you all this stuff because I want you to see that there is an ugly side to things. And I praise God, maybe you've never seen it, and I pray to God that it will never happen. But there is an ugly side. That's why I've said at times, sometimes we'll say things, even to our family, that we'd never say to strangers. But I often want to recant that and say, we will say it to strangers. Right? To have two deacons in my 8 months there want to take me outside and beat me up. You know? It's like, gee, come on. In fact, that's what I said. I said, come on. You know? I laughed. I can see now the headlines. Pastor put in jail. You can follow the rest. Discord is not interested in the truth. Jesus said in Matthew 15, in fact, it's found over there in verses 12 and following. You remember, Jesus confronted the tradition of the Pharisees. The Pharisees said, you know, why do your disciples not obey the traditions? He said, why do you not obey the commandments of God? It's like cut to the throat, you know what I mean? Afterwards, it says, then his disciples came and said to him, saying to Jesus, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard that saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. You know, there's a lot of lessons in that passage right there. You see, you can pray, and I hope you do. If you have a situation like this, sometimes people are just not interested in the truth. They don't want to know what the truth is. That's why I said it slaps them upside the face. It's written on their forehead. They have blinking lights go off. It says, this is the truth. They're not interested. They're only interested in their cause. They're only interested in their ways. They're only interested in promoting what they feel. They're not bringing their body into submission to Christ. They're not bringing those feelings and the anger or any of these things. That tells me that the problem wasn't just there. The problem was deeper. The problem festered in other areas, other relationships. How do we know it's not interested in it? Let me give you some examples of discord arguing against the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Jesus is the embodiment of truth. Notice this. In John chapter 6, if you'd like to just follow some of these verses. Notice this. Jesus said He was the bread of life, and they complained about it. It says in John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all He has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Notice verse 41. The Jews then complained about Him because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. You know, but that wasn't the only occasion. Go over to John 8. Look at John 8, verse 12. Jesus said He was the light of the world, and they said He was a liar. Look at this. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to Him, you bear witness of yourself, and your witness is not true. They were assuming the roles of judges. They were assuming the Father's role. Didn't the Father testify of His Son? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. They had the Scriptures. They had what they needed to recognize Him when He would come. They weren't interested in the truth. Notice in John 8:58, Jesus said that He was the I Am. And what did they do? They sought to pick up stones and stone Him. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, that's a remarkable verse. He is the I Am of Exodus chapter 3. Then they took up stones to throw at Him, but Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. You see, they weren't interested. Jesus said that He was God. And again, they sought to stone him. Go over to John 10. Look at verse 30. Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." They understood what he was saying. They did not want the truth. They wanted the truth dead. Mark 14:1. I saw this the other day and I went, man, I can't believe this. It says, "After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death." They weren't interested in the truth. They didn't care about the truth. They wanted the truth dead. Because see, when Jesus came on the scene, did he not confront the religious leaders? Did he not confront them in their hypocrisy? They're phonies. And to be very honest with you, Jesus was the most qualified to point that out. Right? Because he could read the heart. Can I just give you this simple definition? Discord is strife. Discord, as it's used here in Proverbs 6:19, it occurs three times in the Old Testament to speak of strife or contention. The American Heritage Dictionary, it defines it as tension or strife resulting from a lack of agreement or dissension. Vance Havner, he said this. He said a church had a sign in front and it said, "Jesus only." And one night a storm blew out the first three letters and left "us only." He says, too many churches have come to that. It's us only. I've been at so many churches where it was an us and them relationship. They never took us in. It was us and them. Let me tell you something. I've never felt that here. It's us all together. You have made that so clear. And I praise God for you. I praise God for Biltmore. And you know, and if I could just say to any visitor in here, listen, if you're looking for church, this is the place. I mean, you're looking in all the wrong churches because you want to be loved. You want to experience it. You don't want to just be told, "I love you." You join Biltmore, you will experience it. You won't become a statistic. You won't become a number. You'll experience it. I really believe that. And I'm not saying that necessarily all for me or from the staff. I'm saying it from all. Here's the ministers right here. This is the ministry right here. And I believe that. You know, when we think of discord and we think of its influence, we think of its power. There are things that cause it. There are some things that are right that cause it, and there are things that are wrong that cause it. Let me give you one of the things that's right. Preaching the truth can cause discord, can it not? There's sometimes people get offended at what is taught from the Word of God, and like one preacher said, "If you disagree with me, call up heaven." Right? It happened to Paul over and over and over. Over in Acts chapter 24 and verse 4. As he's standing there before Felix, and the people are saying things against him. Notice what they say. "For we have found this man a plague." You got that? They called him a plague. "A creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes." He was called a plague, a ringleader. You see, sometimes preaching the truth, it's going to stir up people. It's going to stir up discord because you know what's happening? Your toes are being stepped on, right? You're being hit right in the face with the truth. And I really believe this. You've got one of two responses. Do it or disobey it. Do it or don't do it, right? And the reason why many of us are so miserable is because we're not doing it. And we come in week after week. And I have to commend you, if you're sitting here and you're like that and you are still coming week after week and you're hearing the truth and you're hearing the truth, I just pray you don't become callous to the truth. You know, there are some people that never get excited about the truth of God. They're embalmed by it. You know what I mean? You get around some of these new Christians. They're excited. And they get around some people who have been in church for a long time. And it's as if to say, you can't bring that joy in here. We're not joyful people. We're mature people. We've been walking with God for a long time. And they try to put that out. I remember a good buddy of mine. I love being in the service with him because I'd always hear, praise the Lord. And I knew who it was. They tried to put that out. Man, I hope you continue to shout amen and shout praise the Lord till Jesus comes. And if somebody doesn't like it, you shout it right in their ear. They need to hear it. Right? You know what happens that also causes discord? When you play spiritual favorites, that can cause discord. We single out people within the fellowship. We start playing favorites with them. That'll sow discord. That'll cause problems fast. Let me remind you of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. It's been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each one of you says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. You got these people going around saying all these things. They're playing spiritual favorites. That'll cause discord, won't it? I'll give you a third one. In fact, this is how we deal with it. We must note those who cause discord, and we must avoid it.
How are you at avoiding discord? You have been listening to The Things That God Hates from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Today's message is available in either cassette tape, MP3, or CD. To purchase either format, call us today at 904-651-3351. Or you can visit us online by using your credit card and placing your order at changebygrace.org. If you prefer, you can write us at Change by Grace, P.O. Box 26041, Jacksonville, Florida 32226. Change by Grace is a ministry of Change by Grace Community Church in Jacksonville, Florida. If you're in the area, we'd like to invite you to attend one of our services that meets on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. or Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. For more information, call us at 904-651-3351. Again, you can visit us online at changebygrace.org. Well, I'm Pastor Steve Herford. Thank you for listening today, and I hope that you'll join us again next time as we study God's Word.